Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, que la voz se le atima. Guess all that over and to the sale to my. For I've desired to teach my people the love. Sigapi is what he's talking about. The love that's of the new nature. For that is a nature like my own. You can tell when you're walking in my love is when you love the brethren. Hallelujah. When you love the brethren. In Silkalebopati. Junkesi. This seems to be really important to him. Seems to be really important to God. That the new nature he's give you sometime in your life end up giving itself in agape. When he talked about forgiveness, he says, so shall your heavenly Father do to you who's not forgiving his brother their trespasses, everyone, from his heart. That's the end of a teaching Jesus did on the greatest in the kingdom. Who's the greatest? Who is the greatest that demands the most in corporate structure, worship, respect. I told you my tongue doesn't work. Who is it that demands the most respect from the corporate structure of heaven? Who is this that heaven respects? Who is it demands the most respect from heaven? And he finishes the teaching with anyone who's developed to the capacity to forgive their brother and everyone their trespasses from their heart. Being not with just your mouth, you know, with your heart. This seems to mean so much to him. It's meaning more to me all the time. Anyway, that's what he said in tongues. The first half of that. What he said in tongues, that he's been looking for a people who will manifest themselves in that kind of love. I think it's because of what he'll be able to do through you. Destroying people is not conducive to the walk of the Spirit. Neither is greed and hatreds and hurtings. They're not conducive. But a person can't stop all that stuff until you know him well enough to know him, that he'll take care of you. Go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and then you put a marker over into Epistle of John, 1 John. And we'll be over there in a moment. Just a moment. Let's begin with the 34th verse. It's actually where we left off from the morning's teaching. The Sadducees that were sad. But now the Pharisees, they heard that he shut down the Sadducees. No one wanted to really ask him any questions. And finally, a lawyer thought he knew something. He's thinking, well, I'm a Pharisee, and the others are Sadducee, but I can tempt him. It didn't work. But let's follow this here for a moment. 34th verse, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, ask him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him with no hesitation, this is the great commandment of the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. 38th verse. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, these have always been a mystery to me, these verses. Because he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments. And what two? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, the first one. And the second great commandments is like unto it, to love the Lord God like that. He likens that love that you're to love him with in the first and great commandment. He said to love your neighbor is like the first one. It's like the first one, like he's talking about. Your love for God isn't really your love for God unless you love your brethren. Because the second one is like the first one. It's the same kind of love. You can't love him more than them because it's the same kind of love. And he said, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Well, those might be the first two great commandments, okay? The problem was I couldn't find them. I went over in the Ten Commandments and I couldn't find them. And yet he said these are the two great commandments the lawyer was tempting him with. He says, what are? And he says, this is them. The first great commandment is. So you're thinking that he's isolating a commandment such as, thou shalt not steal. But he said the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second great one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I couldn't find that one either. So I'm looking through the Ten Commandments, you know. Thank God for him expanding my mind so I can look at him without having to open my Bible. Thank God for meditation. I suggest it. You know, the first one is what? To love. There'll be no other gods before you. The very first one. The second one is don't worship anything created. The third one was not to take his name in vain. And the fourth one is to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, which you're doing now as you respect the new nature and walk by it. Amen. You're keeping it holy. So that's the first four. And I didn't see it quoted there. Now the next six, they change in nature. Fifth one is the first promise, the first commandment with promise, which is love your father and mother. And Jesus called it the first one with promise. And the second one then is thou shalt not murder after that. The sixth one. And of course the seventh is you will not kill. Now, let me look again. Okay. I don't want to have to go over there. I'm taking it out of my teaching. The fifth one is to honor your father and mother. And then you shall not kill. And then commit adultery. And then steal. And then lie. And then covet. Now, starting with loving father and mother, all these are sins against each other. Against your father and mother, and adultery, and lying, and stealing. So when he said these are the two great commandments, the first four covered that commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second grouping was six commandments that grouped it together, that you're not to hurt each other. So he said, if you keep these two, then you're keeping all the law and the prophets. So he said, you keep these two. And he said, all the law and the prophets is fulfilled in these two. Yes, they are. Because six of the commandments had to do with you hurting each other. And the first four is to love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, your soul, and your strength, and then your neighbor as yourself. That summed it up. But even to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is that when you walk in that new nature and you keep that holy and keep that rest, that peace, and you highly honor God, because he said, by this will men know that you're my disciples. You honor God and keep the rest and keep those commandments of love. Well, he said, all of it hinges on this. Well, going on over then to 1 John, because every time I read these five little chapters, I keep seeing him synonymous, using being born of God, saved, with love, synonymous, which is the core nature of your Father. God is love, agape. He doesn't have love. He is. He doesn't have sovereignty. He is. He doesn't have faith. He is. He doesn't have immutability. He is immutable. He is. He is. He is. So he's using this new nature he gave us, synonymous with love. When he said love never fails and prophecies will cease, tongues will be done away with. Why? They're two revelation gifts. You only need them here when you have to be taught in your spirit in this walk of the flesh. But that's why he said love never fails, prophecy and tongues. He said they'll fail, which means when that which is perfect has come, they're not going on to heaven with you. You won't need them. But love's going over with you. That's why he said it never fails. It crosses the barrier because it is the core nature of what you received when you were born again. And God esteems it the most lethal weapon that you possess, because when you let the Holy Spirit cultivate that nature, your days of failure are over. Well, he seems to be synonymous here. I mean, he interchanges it. Every time he talks about love, he talks about loving your brother. Even John, the apostle of love here, even in these Ten Commandments, when he answered the lawyer. The lawyer said, you're rightly spoken. He said, you're not far from the kingdom. When he answered the lawyer, he says, look, the second great commandment encompasses the next six. He says, and it's like the first. That if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you are going to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what makes it like the first. So if you're not loving your neighbor, you're not doing the first. Look at the eighth verse of the first, second chapter. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Eighth verse of the second chapter. Little John, epistle. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, you don't have a spiritually dead spirit anymore. And the true light now shineth.
What happens when it shines?
Synonymous with love again. He that saith he's in this new nature, the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness even till now. He that loves his brother, the 10th verse says, abideth in that new nature, the light. There is no occasion in stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. And even if you're not spiritually dead, you're walking like one because you can't see where you're going. He says he knows not whither he goes because darkness has blinded his eyes. One of the foremost primary things in the leadership of the Spirit is to be guiltless and free. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This gets real interesting. We'll clear all of this up for you one day. What I was after here is to notice how synonymous he thinks when you're born again. I mean, John, that poor guy, he lived about 105 years, and he just got it in his mind. He got senile somewhere along the way, and he just thinks everybody that's saved should love their brother. He's probably about 102 when he started talking like that. He lost something. You know, he's not listening to teaching anymore. Well, let's go on a little further. The 16th verse of the 4th chapter. 4th chapter, 16th verse. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we're in this world. I can stand boldly on the day of judgment. Why? Because my love's being perfected. How's it being perfected? Because as he is, so we're in this world. He's talking about his humanity. And Jesus glorified humanity again. He's at the right hand of the Father with the human spirit, has the same nature in it as you do. A divine nature, love, human spirit, divine nature of love. Well, I can have boldness on the day of judgment because herein is his love perfected. Well, how's that? As he is, so are we in this world. I'm standing on this planet. He's at the right hand of the Father. But as he is in that new nature, I'm standing on this world at that new nature. And when I perfect that love, I can have boldness in the day of judgment, because when you cultivate that kind of love, and you're going to end up with the best God has. That's all there is to it. You may make it past servant to slave, where Jesus literally owns you. And your whole life has been surrendered. Moving on. Herein is our love made perfect. We may have boldness in because as he is, so we in this world. We can get that love perfected because it's been planted in us. We're here, he's there. But we have the same life in our human spirit as he has seated there. And he explains the nature of it a little bit. In 18, there is no fear in love. Boy, I'm glad he told me that. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Here goes that synonymous saying again. Poor John, he's lost it. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. The second commandment is like the first. I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can you love God whom he can't see? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. He didn't say, maybe you would.
Well, I'm just so in love with God.
A little wife of mine.
Shut up.
But I'm so in love with God. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And last summer I was on television, and they got him on because he'd been casting out devils. This old show host. Are you telling me I'm demon possessed? Are you telling me that, old show host? No, Lester said, I don't know. Ask your wife. I tell you whose prayers God answers. It's the prayers of the guy that lives at home, not the one on the outing, not the one at the church picnic. Well, he says, if you can't love your brother who you can see, how can you love God who you can't? And I thought, God, that's just the point. I can love you because I can't see you. You're not putting a knife in my back every other day. You're not treating me mean. And that's why. that obviously somebody's convinced John that to have the new nature synonymous with the love for your brother and to love God is synonymous with the love for your brother. Can't have one without the other.
I just really love God.
I hate you. No, you don't. He that loves him that begot loves him that's begotten of him. Do you love your brother? Do you love your brother? Do you? Do you really? That's the core nature of his love. If you're born again, that's what will keep trying to show up. Amen. Stand up.